Running a call center is tough. Leading a sales team is a challenge. Luckily, your hosts know what it takes to succeed. What you can expect from your two guides? Conversations that won't be overly scripted. Definitely not salesy or boring. Just filled with as much value as possible. Each week, Jason and Oliver will bring you topics to help scale your team, increase profits, and actually feel like you are winning. So, if you are ready to up your game and become the best in the business, tune in, take notes, and be prepared to learn. And here they are with another episode of Call Center Confidence. It's Jason Cutter and Oliver Katt.
Hey, everyone. It's Oliver Katt here today with a very laggy camera. Thank you very much for tuning in. Jason is not with us today, but I do have a very experienced panel, as I've spoken about on all of our posts on social media over the last few hours, talking about what we're going to be coming at you live today. Yes, we're going to be talking about leadership, and I have three gentlemen here with me today who are going to be taking us through live, answering your questions, answering my questions, and hopefully throwing some curveballs at them as we go through. So I'll do a quick introduction for everybody, but just a reminder for those of you that are listening live or watching live, please don't forget to drop any comments, any questions for anything that you see coming up in the comments section. We'll be picking it up across LinkedIn, the website, and of course, YouTube and Facebook. So if you've got any questions, feel free to drop them in, post a comment, and we can get talking about exactly what is going on today. Clearly, I have paused in a very awkward spot. I look huge, my chins look massive, and that's exactly how it's going to be today, because apparently I have a technical problem. For those of you that are listening live afterwards or on the podcast, then it doesn't really matter because you're not seeing my face. You're not seeing anything but a picture on your iPhone or Android phone of the podcast. But look, we're going to get into today as we talk about leadership. That's right. We mentioned it. We've talked about it. We've gone all the way back around, and back by popular demand, leadership is one of the big topics that we want to talk about. Now, Jason's not here with me today, which is why I have three industry experts that have worked in the contact centers for many, many years between them, probably adding up together cumulatively for older than I am today, sat here talking to you. So we're going to be bringing you their experience about the pitfalls, about the successes, the big wins, most importantly, the difference between leadership and management, and of course, why it's important to coach your leaders and not just your frontline sales teams, customer experience teams, or any other agents or reps that you have working for you. Now, over in the UK, it's 6 p.m. Over here on the US, on the east side, it's 1 o'clock, and it's 10 a.m. in the Pacific. And today, I've got three guests joining me from across the water, all back from where I'm from originally in the UK. Three guys that are going to be answering your questions and giving you as much insight into leadership as possible, especially sharing their experiences. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to throw my first curveball to them straight away. And I'm going to introduce them, and they're going to tell you a little bit about themselves, what they've done, their experience, and how long they've worked in the contact center industry, and why, most importantly, their experience is key. But they don't have to tell you that, I promise you. They're just going to tell you how long they've been working in the industry for, and how long they have been working for experienced leaders, leaders themselves, or have had leaders working for them. So the first one is I'm going to hand over to Mr. Neil Chitra, to my right-hand side on the screen that I can see. So, Neil, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, Oliver. Thanks for inviting me, and great to have Paul and Rich on board as well. So my experience at contact centers has been for the nearly 15 or 16 years, starting off from on the phones and working myself up into leadership roles, and then leading and even setting up contact centers across Europe and some parts of the US and consulting in South Africa as well. And then I moved into business and management consultancy the last 5 years and still working within the contact center industry, but also with big brands and helping them to shape their customer experience and the customer service. And part of my role is also coaching the leadership team in order to lead the right sort of organizations.
Thank you very much, Neil. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate you being here tonight. Tonight, I say in the UK, obviously. And obviously, talking about South Africa, Byron's just commented. Byron, a good friend of mine over in South Africa himself. Thanks for tuning in, Byron. Much appreciated. And then moving around the clock is Mr. Paul Kitson.
Hi, guys. So, like Neil, I started off on the phones. I've worked in BPOs, in-house call centres, vendor managed, worked with marketing teams, finance teams, a variety of different sort of clients and verticals. I've been in the industry for 25 years, I think it now is, so that dates me somewhat. So I started when I was only three, obviously. Been in there for a while. Done a lot of different things over my time.
Cool. Thank you very much, Paul. Appreciate it. And thank you again for joining us today. Appreciate it. And then last but not least, long-time listener, long-time supporter, has been on live with us before, Mr. Rich Edge. How are you doing today, Rich?
I'm very good. Thanks, Kat. Thanks for having me back on again. And nice to be on with Neil and Paul this time. For those that didn't hear the intro the last time, I've been in the contact center industry for sort of over 20 years. I've been working a lot longer than that. I was actually in management prior to actually coming into the contact center environment, although I have done some pieces on the phone, running contact centers in-house and outsourced, UK and offshore as well. I've always worked around the CX piece, always around contact centers in one form or another. So quite a varied experience, having run contact centers, run organizations that have contact centers, supporting the parties in contact centers, all sorts of things. So I've seen a myriad of different good, bad, and indifferent. So hopefully I can bring something to the conversation today.
Absolutely, Rich. No, thank you very much. And again, thank you very much for being here. I appreciate it. So look, we're gonna jump straight into it today. We got about 45 minutes to get through this, and I got a lot of questions, and I'm sure you guys, between all of you, have got a lot of answers and a lot of experience to share with everybody, and that's what's exciting. So for those of you out there that are listening in today, and clearly not looking at my camera because I just look appalling, but never mind. We're gonna move on. Today is all about what do we need to do right for our leaders? What are the experiences that Neil, Paul, and Rich have seen that have worked well? How have they helped? How have they managed? And, you know, what are the successes that have come out of that? So not only, you know, the kind of laying the groundwork for it, but I think most importantly is, you know, what has been the end game? What has been the end deliverables? So I want to jump in really with my first question. And we'll kind of follow the same cycle unless you guys want to jump in and talk about it yourselves. So Neil, then to Paul, then to Rich. My first question to all of you is, independently, you've all worked with different types of leaders. You've worked with different types of managers. I really want to kind of get your difference of opinion of what you think the difference between a leader and a manager is, because there are so many businesses out there that think they are one and the same. They think they are the same kind of profile, the same kind of person, and they do the same thing day in, day out. Now, we've spoken at length, especially on Call Center Confidence previously, the difference about leaders and management. And that's Jason and my opinion. I want to kind of want to hear it from you guys who have worked in the industry for so long. Neil, coming to you first, what do you think are the key crucial differences between leaders and managers?
Yeah, so Oliver, I think there is a crossover, right, between management and leadership, where in their roles and responsibilities. And you can be a leader and a manager or a bit of both, but actually there is a very, very clear distinction between leadership and management. And for one is, if you're a leader, you need to be able to set the vision. You need to be able to inspire your workforce. You take people along with you so you can translate that vision, but more importantly, through growth, learning and opportunities. And through that, you create a leadership culture, which is strategic in thinking, but also future thinking. And as a manager, I think your role is interdependent on that, because your job is to execute that vision and support the workforce to achieve their goals. You also guide people to succeed, develop and grow. You execute and champion that leadership culture, which the leader has enforced. And rather than strategic, mm-hmm. you're more tactical and operational, because you're present, you're focused, and you're working in the now, Whereas as leadership, you're working in the future because you're constantly thinking about evolving.
I love that. And, you know, when you talk about working to the future, being inspiring versus the managers who's in the now, in terms of the people that you've worked with previously, historically, and the managers or the leaders, you know, the subordinates that have reported into you, would you say the highest percentage of people that have worked for you have been managers or leaders when they've started with you versus later down the line?
I think you very soon identify who are the leaders in your team, whether you're being led by them or reporting into them, or whether you're managing and leading them. Behaviors come across very quick and some can be learnt, but quite often you'll find that the people you work with are predominantly managers, or whether they're good or bad, or can be trained. But like I said, that leadership behavior will emerge. And I think as a good leader, you need to recognize that quite quickly, identify that and escalate that. Otherwise, you will lose them, you will demotivate them, and they'll very quickly move on.
That's perfect. I love that. Thank you, Neil. Look, big tips there. You know, invest in your leaders, invest in that kind of future proofing. I think that's a great point. Paul, what are your thoughts on what Neil said and on that kind of initial question about the difference between the two?
I kind of agree with Neil. I think there's a difference. And I think he's summed up quite nicely the fact that for me, it's management's here and now. You need to do both. Let's be honest, as a leader or a manager or somebody who's in charge of a call center, you're going to have to be able to do both, and you're going to have to flex between the two. And it's an interesting one. I was chatting to one of my leaders this week, and we had a whole conversation about the fact that he said, I need more to do. I need more to do. I'm on top of everything. I need more to do. I was going, okay, you don't need more to do. That's your thinking time. That's where you become a leader. That's where you start to think further ahead. It's not about doing stuff here and now. It's right now, lift your head out, think about where you're going to go further. And let's think about where you can then start recognizing people within your team, and going back to what Neil said about recognizing those leaders and then helping them move on in themselves. Because I think you don't need a title to be a leader. You can have somebody on the phone who's a leader who will go that extra mile. And that, I think, is the difference between sometimes when you think about leaderships. Those people that are leaders will do the extra. Those people that are leaders tend to be the ones that will go above and beyond what is expected of them every single day, and they will put their team first. And then the first person to turn and go, my team has done a brilliant job, and then the first person to turn and go, it's my fault we haven't succeeded. Whether you look across sport or industry, that's always the same. And when you look at those really good leaders and what they're doing, and it is about, again, manager versus leader. A manager will be instructing you every single day on what they need you to do. A leader will be giving you direction. So when you go back to those leaders that I've worked with, when I think of the people that I've most enjoyed working with as my leader or manager, it was like, well, you want to go over there, you go and work out how to do it, and I'll help you along the way, rather than we're going to go over there and these are the steps I expect you to take every single day to get there. And that's a very different approach in how you motivate your staff and how you engage your staff, whether that's your leader or whether that's actually the frontline staff. And it's a very different way to think about it. And it's quite a hard shift for people that go from being on the phones to being a manager and even a leader of leaders, that shift of, I need to think further ahead and I need to think about how I delegate to those people to encourage them and engage with them every single day.
No, I love that. I absolutely love that. And there's two points I want to bring up on that there and kind of come back to. The first one is the delegation piece. I think that's something that is crucial in any environment like that, especially a contact center, thinking about how you can kind of pass that down the chain, who to, and thinking X amount of steps ahead as you progress, what you can then pass back down to your team. I think one of the things that I've experienced over the years working in contact centers is first-time leaders who have stepped up from the front line find it very difficult to delegate because they've normally been the one that's been delegated to historically, but also at the same time delegating to agents who are on the phone tasks that may be requiring of them to come off the phones, and it's quite difficult in that environment. But as you go up the chain and you are, as you say, a leader of leaders, you can pass that down to other leaders to do for you, and it's a great skill to learn. The other thing I want to talk about, and this is a question to you, is you talked about speaking to one of your leaders at the moment about wanting more to do, as you referred to, as time to learn more, think ahead, become a leader, and develop. What do you think in that time? Do you think that time is wisely used to kind of do more tasks, to learn more skills, or develop using things like online training, you know, LinkedIn Learning, Udemy, all of these courses to help take the next steps? Or do you think it's spending time with other managers and leaders within the business to learn how to become their level? What do you think is more relevant for people in that position?
Unfortunately, all of it, I think, is you learn from other people, don't you? That's the point, is like, yeah, you talk about two different things. You need to, so there's a couple of things there. One, you need to see somebody demonstrate the best behaviors. And whether you've got a good leader, manager, whatever it is, you can always learn something positive or negative and take away something from that. Mm-hmm. When you talk about learning, I think as a leader, you always have to be learning and you always have to be challenging. And actually, to be honest with you, the guys who work for me, and I'm working in quite a small team now, so we're quite close. I've moved away from the hundreds and thousands of people that I've managed in the past. Actually, they challenge me and they're coming up with ideas, and I'm putting pressure on them to come up with ideas about what we should do and where should we learn. So I'm reviewing stuff that I hadn't really looked at for years, like Simon Sinek stuff, Jim mm-hmm. Rohn stuff, and going back over that and just finding time. And then again, with those leaders, actually sometimes it's helped just point them in the right direction. It's like, look at Simon Sinek, look at Jim Rohn. Actually, here's, like, I'm sure everybody on this listening today goes to different groups and different peer groups, and they can go and see and hear different things. There's always different webinars and stuff going on. Going to those right ones, point them in the right direction. Even if it's not something to do with your job today, it's adding to your knowledge, whether that's technology, whether that's different ways of approaching management of people. It's about keeping that knowledge fresh and new, and always challenging your preconceptions. And I think that's the biggest thing as a leader and a manager, is being open. And sometimes that's quite tough when you talked about a new leader. And I remember being a new leader manager, you didn't delegate anything because you were worried that somebody would make a mess of it and it would fall on you. And also you just didn't really know how to do it at that point either. You're kind of like, I need to do it all to demonstrate that I'm capable. Whereas actually you're a leader now and a manager. Being able to delegate does prove you are capable, and people sometimes don't take that into account when they're thinking about their roles and their responsibilities and what they do and how they need to support their team. Because that's the whole point, isn't it? We're all there to support our team, and everything we do is to support our team, because they're the guys across all of our call centers talking to our customers, either sales, retention, customer services. They are the ones that need support. So it's how do we support them, and as a leader, you need to work that through.
No, I love that. I love that. Thanks. A big takeaway from that one as well is that the big word from my perspective is delegation and learning how to delegate. I think that's a very poignant piece. Thank you. Just a quick comedy moment that I have to bring up right now before I move on to the same question with you, Rich, is Rich, Paul to me, and I don't know whether this is the same for everybody else watching, you're both at the bottom and you looks like you're both sharing a glass of water. Every time you put it down, Rich picks one up.
It's chasing.
And it looks like the same pint glass. And he literally, guys, go back and watch this. Like 18 minutes in, they are sharing a glass of water over the bottom. I can see it. I don't know if anybody
you
else can.
See, is you don't, you know Rich and me very well. That's probably not water, let's be fair.
Yeah, that's right. Paul's got stronger stuff in the back cave.
No, thanks, Paul. No, I appreciate that. All right, Rich, coming to you. Same kind of question, talking of the delegation, picking up on the development piece as well. What are your thoughts and feelings on that?
So for me, I mean, Paul was saying, you know, managers tell people what to do. When people, I'm talking to people about leadership skills and that sort of thing, and trying to coach and encourage them, because it's very important that people understand the difference. And to be honest, lots of companies really mix these two things up, and they think because you're a manager, you're going to be a leader. Well, yeah, we would love that to be the case. That's not always the way. You know, managers tell people what to do. They have people reporting to them. They give people direction. Something happens and they react to it and sort it out. You know, they hold authority and power. Now, that's you're managing the situation, the operation. You're managing the day-to-day, new things come in, you manage it. That's managing. Leadership is a level on top. You need to be a level of management to have some management ability to have some leadership. And it tends to be people who are motivational. They can motivate their people. They're visionaries. They have good ideas. They don't just take change and do it. They create the change. They make it happen. They don't just work in a silo. They support people to develop themselves and develop the operation and the team. Leadership, if you say, right, are you a great leader? I go, and you say, well, yeah, I'm a great leader. I say, well, okay, so let's ask the people that report into you if you're a great leader. Because that's where you're really going to know your strengths and weaknesses as a leadership. You know, do you ask questions? You know, are they your subordinates or do they follow you? Do you motivate them? You know, all of those things. Those are leadership qualities. Not everybody can be a great leader, but you can always support somebody to become a better leader. Some of it, I believe, is a natural ability. Some people, you know, have that, you know, leadership ability to build in, and it becomes easier for them. Like any walk of life, anything that we do, some things are easier, come easier to some people than others. Yeah. But leadership for me is, some people, somebody with vision, they've got to be able to articulate and communicate that with the team, to motivate them, to inspire them and organize it. And if you add that vision plus organization and communication together, you get equals the results piece, which I'm sure we'll come on to talk about. But they are two very distinct things in my mind. And I've seen, you know, fantastic leaders. I've seen people that think they're leaders and are not leaders. you know, and I've seen people likewise. I've seen people that actually, that we've helped coach and support, they didn't think they had management and leadership ability in them, and actually they just flew.
Yeah,
it is, you know. So there's always some leadership there in some people, but it does come easier to some than others.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. And I think a point that I want to touch back is that last kind of point there, where you talk about, you know, people that have the natural ability versus people that think they are good leaders. And I think for me, you know, you see these people say, I want to be the next leader. I want to be that next person that's going to be promoted, et cetera, et cetera. And they go into that role and they fail miserably. Now, that's not through want of trying. That's not through lack of trying, but maybe they can't grasp it. Maybe they can't pick it up. Or maybe, as one of the biggest things that I kind of always like to refer to, is they weren't supported or trained in that environment to succeed as a new leader.
Yeah.
Rich, have you ever come across a situation like that where these people that we're talking about that have the ability or don't have the ability have been given the training and it's worked versus no training and it's failed? Have you ever witnessed something like that?
I have. I mean, I've been on some mediocre and some, to be honest, some truly amazing leadership courses as well. I think we touched on it on the last time. But I have seen that, and I've seen everybody go on the same stuff. Some people have excelled and some people haven't. There is a piece, I think, just being taught this is what good leadership looks like is really difficult to then pick that up and bring that into a real environment. I mean, can you tell somebody how to be motivational? You know, some of that comes with experience, coming up with good ideas. A lot of that is, you know, experience and listening to people. You know, a lot of this is teamwork, you know, and it, you know, there's an awful lot of layers in becoming a good leader, you know, running by example, being visionary, clear communication, supporting and recognition of your staff. You know, this is a team game, and good leaders run a team game, and the end results can be astounding. But I have seen people do the leadership something that they've gone through, okay, tick all the boxes, doesn't actually mean that you can actually really put it into practice. It takes practice to become a better leader.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And I mean, look, I'm the first person to hold my hands up and say this, and I've said it time and time again, and I'll say it here today. When it comes to that first promotion into that management piece or into that leadership piece, or we're going from, you know, stepping up into that new role, I'll hold my hands up and I'll be the first to say that I failed miserably when I first stepped into the position. And the reason being, and this is nothing wrong or nothing against anybody that I was working with at the time, but you know, I wasn't given the training to be that next leader, to be that supportive manager. And it's something that people can overlook very, very quickly and companies can not support. So that kind of perfectly leads me into my next segue into about coaching leaders. But I want to ask Neil, Paul, is there anything you guys want to add from Rich's point of view or from each other, anything else on that topic?
Just to add to what Rich said as well, I think we just need to be aware and conscious of the term leadership and the actual act of it. And what I mean by this is there are three main areas, right? It can be leadership can be given, it can be taken, or it can be earned. And what I mean by that is given is that if you have a certain sort of a family-run business or something like that, or a very large corporation where there's lots of nepotism, you decide who the next leaders are going to be without actually consulting or recognizing their behaviors. Or taken, if you own an organization like a large dealership or something, where you decide, well, I'm going to be the leader because I own it. And you find the best results for a leadership comes from where it's earned, where you've actually worked or you've proved your mettle and you've actually showed people that your abilities, and people follow you because they want to follow you. It's not because of the title you've been given. And I think so when we lead into your coaching question, I think that's really important to start recognizing that before you start your coaching.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. Sorry, but what were you going to say to me?
No, I think for me, just the bit that Rich said was perfectly leads into your coaching piece is the practice. It's practice. Yeah. No, like I think we all talked about, for some people, it's like in any walk of life, there's certain things that people find easier than others. Just because you don't find it easy to start with doesn't mean you're not naturally going to become a good leader. Whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, I don't think it matters. To a certain extent, we all know that actually extroverts can make exceptional leaders because they have much more empathy sometimes than some extroverts do. So I think it's about that practice and being given the opportunity to fail and supported. And I think you talked about just then about your first move into management and the failure you had. I was fortunate when I first moved into management, I was almost sent off site to another site, but I had four or five other really experienced team managers around me that helped me get up to speed really quickly and were there to support me through that period of time. And it was that peer support that I had rather than manager support that really helped me kick on at the time.
That's great. That's really good. And, you know, to get that experience, what I love there is the fact that you were sent off site to do that.
And
this goes for anybody out there who's listening or watching or however you're kind of picking up on this episode. When you promote somebody, especially either from a frontline into their first management position, sometimes people forget that they're now managers and still either refer back to them as being on the front line or doing the job that they were doing beforehand. And the fact that you were sent away to work with other managers offsite, people probably didn't perceive you of that. So you were able to soak up more of that leadership piece because you were away or separated from everything else. I think that's a really great concept, especially, you know, in a contact center environment. I remember my first time I was promoted from a trainer to a training manager. People still expected me to do the trainer's role whilst also manage the training team because I'd been training for so long. I was still, and I wasn't able to kind of spread my wings and fly as a manager because I was still stuck in a classroom. So I love that concept. I love the fact that you were taken away to kind of learn those skills and really enhance what you were learning to do and to become in your new role. Hey, it's Oliver Catt of Cutter and Catt, and we'll be right back to the podcast. But first, are you ready to help build up the confidence of your call center team so that they can scale and generate more revenue? In our experience, there are many factors that could be keeping your sales operation from achieving the success that you want. The first step to creating call center confidence is to determine the gaps between where you are now and where you would like to be. If you're ready to find out how we can help your sales operation, whether it's anything from training to systems, technology, outsourcing, or anything else in between, email info@callcenterconfidence and we'll set up a free assessment call to find out how we may be able to help. Now back to Jason and I chatting about call centers. So moving on into the coaching piece of managers, and I referenced this earlier and I've spoken about it in the post that I've done about today's episode. It's about coaching our leadership team, coaching our managers or leaders when they go into that first time position or step into a new role. we forget sometimes how important it is to coach these people, to give them that support, so that they can see it from many different angles. We all focus in contact centers, and it happens in a lot of the companies I've worked for and work with, where you just see coaching happen with your frontline sales teams, maybe your early supervisors, because you're training your supervisors to coach those frontline teams. But as you progress up through the ladder, I think I've seen and I've witnessed a lot of companies where coaching percentages die off the higher you go throughout any corporation or any company. And I think it's important that we still maintain that level of coaching, development and support throughout. So, Paul, coming to you first on this one. Mm-hmm. When it comes to managers being promoted and seeing their development, having them coached or being coached via you, at, you know, an operations level, a team leader level, supervisor level, away from the front line, how important has that been? Has it been successful? Have you seen any failures? What have you got to share when you talk about coaching the leaders that have worked for you previously?
I think all coaching, no matter who you are and what level you're at, is key. Whether that you're the CEO all the way down to somebody on the front line, you're always going to get something out of coaching. Whether that's from your manager, whether that's from your peers, whether that's from an external source, I think it's really key. I think for me, the challenge you've always got when you talk companies is there is an expectation that you can already lead and manage if you're in that role, you've been promoted to that role or brought into that role. But there's also a challenge that businesses have in recognizing the ROI. For I think somebody I think mentioned it earlier on, a return on investment that you have when you're investing in these coaching for your staff. It's very difficult to prove that as a company. However, mm-hmm. taking all that aside, I'm a massive advocate of it. I've had stand up rows with previous managers about it because I'm quite passionate mm-hmm. about the fact that I think you do need to support those staff, because if not, they are, as you said, Ollie, gonna fail and fail pretty dramatically. And that's not conducive for their career, their mental health, their own esteem. But not only that, it's not conducive for you as a business to fail in that way and fail your staff. So I meet very regularly with my leaders, and I make sure that the conversations that we are having is always two-way. Me learning from them as much as it is the other way around. We obviously talk around business piece, but we always make sure that we are talking about other areas, and we will talk about bigger picture stuff, not just the day-to-day running of the team and how they're performing. We'll talk generally about anything that really we want to cover off that's going to support myself and my teammate, because they are my teammate at the end of the day. We're all going in the same direction to support in our delivery. So where I've seen it fail is where companies don't invest. I think when you see that, when you bring on new teams and you bring on new team managers and they're all new and haven't even got peer support and they're not getting any support from above, I've seen it fail over and over again. And I do think that is where a lot of companies let themselves down. Where I've seen it succeed is where you've got managers, again, who are that leader's leader leading. They are putting that member of staff first. They will stay an extra 2 hours at the end of the night. They will give up their lunch break to spend time working with that individual to help them overcome. And if it means sitting down and demonstrating what to do in those situations, they'll do so. Because I think as much it's about demonstrating how to deliver for those leaders to help them, that show the integrity, show how it should be done, and then discuss it, because it may not be perfect. Because let's be honest, as leaders, we're still all learning. I mean, every day I learn something new. So again, it's being open to that as well.
But Paul, yeah. that's brilliant, absolutely brilliant, because you hit the nail on the head there, because leaders just don't become great leaders. They're not great because they got lots of power. No. They can be a great leader because of their ability to empower others. And it's such a strong piece. You need to have that development of others and empowering others to become better leaders, to be a good leader yourself. It's a team game. You can't be a great leader if you're not a team player.
Yeah. But it's also letting them have the opportunity to fail. because you learn more by your mistakes than getting it right the whole time. Because if you get it right the whole time, you think this is easy until you make the big mistake. Make the little mistakes, be there, support them, give them the trust, make sure they feel safe to make those mistakes. If you make a mistake, don't bawl them out. It's like, right, what did you learn? It's the same. Ollie, I know you've got a child and they're not quite that age where you're having that conversation, but I'm certainly, my son's 8 now, we had that conversation, which is like, right, you lost, you got it wrong. What did you learn? As long as you learn something from it, you're kicking on with developing. If you didn't learn, then you're not getting anywhere. That's the point. And make those mistakes, learn from it and move again. It's like, choose a direction, go in it. If you get it wrong, find out quickly and go back the other way. But don't just sit there and don't make a mistake. Don't be too afraid to make a mistake. That's where you have to nourish and support those leaders in that piece. Because if not, they'll never make a mistake, which means they'll never take a risk, which means they'll never be more than they want to be or they are now. And the whole point of the leader is to get them to be somebody else, be somebody more, whether that's that individual or the whole team. That's what you're after every day. I want you to be better than you were yesterday. That's all I ask of you.
I love that, Paul. And I think, you know, there are so, for those of you listening to that monologue by Paul, I think that is some excellent points there. No, don't apologize. Look, you're dropping bombs, mate. You're dropping bombs there. I think for anybody taking up that 3 or 4 minutes piece there is so many golden nuggets to take away and to look at, especially from what you're trying to achieve. And as you say, nobody is in that great spot. Everybody has to work as a team, as Rich kind of reiterated there. And it is a team effort. If you don't have that team behind you, you are not going to succeed. Neil, look, rather than kind of jumping around a question, have you got anything you want to add to what Rich and Paul were saying there?
Yes, and I think, just going back to your question about whether we should coach our leaders or not, and I've seen both really good examples, as Paul has just highlighted, but also really, good and bad examples. And I've been part of organizations where they send you to group leadership courses and event days, et cetera. And I have to say the value you get out of them is not a lot, because they're not tailored to you. There's this big blanket expectation of leadership, which they put on you. And I don't think you can put leadership in a box and say that you have to be this type of leader. And the type of leader you will work differently in the kind of organization you're working for. And if you're not right for that organization, then you need to move on to the right organization that will exploit your leadership levels. And what I mean by this, there's lots of discussions about transactional leaders and transformational leaders and why transactional leaders are bad and transformational leaders are good. But actually, given the environment you work in, they're both good or bad. And like if you take the army, for example, you can't just be transformational. You have to be quite transactional, or even if in a heavy sales environment, because that's how you will lead people and motivate them. So to your point is, I think before we coach and we have a blanket approach to leadership, we need to understand leadership behaviors, the personalities and drivers, and it needs to be tailored and desired. There needs to be a desire to learn and to be present with that kind of leadership. Mm. And you should also be able to acknowledge your limitations to say, well, actually, this is where I'm my strongest. So I don't want to be pushed into that box because someone on top or my training team is telling me to do that, because I don't feel I'm going to be exploited the best way. So you should be able to acknowledge where your strengths are and where you need to step aside and let someone come forward. And my point is that this is why I think there should be a lot of investment in coaching, especially when you step up. Like Paul said, the more senior you get, the less coaching you get. But I think the more senior you get, the more coaching you need, is because you're left to your own devices. You have learned behavior and you don't have time to reflect on how your leadership behavior is affecting the environment around you. So I think it's time to stop and breathe and bring coaches in who will help you identify your traits, identify your desire to learn, your personality, and then tailor your leadership according to what you will get the best out of. And a simple example is, there's so many of these different assessments you can do on your leadership traits and your leadership behaviors. And, you know, you find in the older world that if you were red, most leaders would be Reds because they were forward-thinking, quick decision-makers, et cetera, et cetera. And actually, you find now that actually a balance between red and yellow is a much better fit because you got people who will want to run forward, but they'll take people along with them. They'll stop and explain what they're trying to achieve. And I think once you identify, you teach people to identify their traits, then you can sit with the coaches or a coaching company and start tailoring that to the person themselves, and then you'll get the best results.
That's brilliant. I want to touch on a point, and I want all three of you to think about this and kind of jump in where you want to go. Couple of key points that I really want to pick up on is first of all, yes, I mean, the coaching of the manager and the supervisor is fundamental. And I've seen companies win at it. I've seen them deliver excellent coaching programs for leaders and managers throughout, and I've seen other people that have gone, do you know what? Coaches and managers don't need training. Let's just bring in somebody who can train the sales guys, and we'll leave those to their own devices. When it comes to things like that, I think we let our managers down, which in turn has a knock-on effect to the frontline teams because they're not getting the support from the people that need that. But when it comes to coaching these managers and training these leaders and managers in that kind of middle management section, do you think it's important to tell them what they need to learn or find out from them what they need to learn? I'll pass that out to anyone really who wants to pick that up, because sorry about the loaded question, but I've worked with companies where some people go, hey, this is what you're doing, versus, hey, let's sit down and find out what you need. Where do you think the balance is?
That's a good point. And actually, I was going to follow on something very similar from what Neil was saying, that for me, somebody told me a long time, you know, you get those nuggets of information, they stick with you for a long time. And this was a leadership piece a long time ago. And they said that the best way to support somebody to become a better leader, because you don't know they're going to be great yet, but you've got to support them, is you first of all, if whatever work environment you're in, they might be reporting to you, they might be your peer or something else, somebody that you're coaching or mentoring, is you need to do it yourself. You need to be able to explain to them the process of what you've done. So you take a situation and you take them through that. So you need to do it yourself. You then need to show your leadership and they see you being a leader. Then you support them to try it themselves with you supporting and coaching them through the process, and then they go and do it themselves. But the very first bit is you need to be a leader first. You need to demonstrate it yourself so that somebody can see what leadership looks like. Yeah, you can go on all the training. They need to see it in action in their own environment. And that might be, you know, you take an example. You go, I remember we had a situation where we had a contact center, had lots of managers come in, go out, and this was a very old contact center, some very experienced people. Some people have been there for over 15 years. Yeah. Managers came and go. So now this time you get a manager come in and the TMs would come up and they'd ask, it said, we need this, we need that, we need the other. These are the most experienced people we've got. They know exactly what they need. So rather than just saying, no, you can't do that, I'll take it away, they ask why. They start asking questions of the managers. They start asking, what benefit are we going to get? They start asking questions, empowering them to unravel their question or their requirement, empowering them themselves to look at it, explore it, giving them the power to go and do something, the ability to go and explore it, come back with the information, say, look, if we do this, not just we need this because it'll make us better. If we do it this way, we provide better service, our agents are better, and this is the result. And actually what we need to do to make that happen is this. Now we are empowered, our team managers, which is exactly what they did. So instead of having a long list of saying, I want, I want, I want, team manager was saying, I've got this idea. And first nugget is because that they are showing leadership. They're displaying leadership. They're not telling people what to do. They're asking questions. They're being motivational. When people come up with good ideas, they action them. showing leadership. Yeah. So that, yeah. But the first bit for me is you've got to do it yourself, and then if you follow the other steps, then you can help people demonstrate to people. And that is the coaching bit, not just going on the course, but actually coaching them so that they can actually do that themselves.
Correct. And Ollie, to highlight your question on whether we should tell them what coaching and training they need, or whether we should be asking them what coaching and training they need, I think there's a balance, right? Because at the end of the day, you're an organization and you're spending money, and your objective is to make money and to please your stakeholders. So if you're investing in your people, you need to make sure that they're delivering the results that the organization needs to deliver in order to make money. Mm-hmm. And so in that sense, you are going to tell them what traits are required from you, or what kind of leaders we need within the organization to help us to achieve those goals. And if they're not the right people, then you bring in the right people. But then there's also a balance of people stepping up, like Rich said, and asking and saying, how do I become a better leader? And these are the things I need to become a better leader. So I've been told I'm a great leader, but I feel I'm not great in communicating, or not great in engaging with people, or not great in messaging. So then it's the balance of saying, well, actually, these are the necessary trainings and traits you need, and these are the desired ones. So you combine them and you get a more powerful mindset.
Yeah.
No, I love that.
Vision, communication, organization, and motivation. That's always been the piece, the building blocks for me that's come with that equals empowerment and results.
It's a great little list. Paul, sorry, go on.
Sorry, there's something just to add on that. I think that the question you ask is, should you tell or should you ask? Again, I think it's both. But I think you have to be aware that as a new manager, I don't know what to ask. So therefore, what training do you need? I don't know. I was on the phones yesterday. I don't know what I'm doing, kind of, mate. So you've got to try and help lead them. I think sometimes it's, as they go through their career, they'll be able to better tell you where they think their gaps are, and you'll be able to confirm that or support them through that. And that's where I think where you get into the coaching thing, where as Richard talked about, I'm not asking, this is what I intend to do. And there's a very famous story about that happening in the US Navy in the submarines, the fact they always used to have to ask the captain to do anything. And they actually changed it. One of the captains, it's a very famous story, and I can't remember which captain it was, he changed it so he had to ask for intent. So I intend to do this. I'm not asking anymore. I'm intending to do this. So you empowered that person to make that decision. And that's where I think it is. So if you go to your member of staff goes, I intend to learn this because I think this will be useful for my career. It's like, yes, I think it is. Or no, I don't think it is. And that comes back to what Neil was saying about whether are you then saying, does it match where the business is going as well? Or is you just going off on a tangent? And that's, again, where as a leader, you need to guide and question and ask, why are you going through that? Why do you want to go in that direction, to understand where the thought process is, rather than just shutting it straight down and going, no, that's not where we're going as a business. Why do you think that's the right way to go, and talk them through that piece? Because it's about that. If they understand it and you talk through it and you get their buy-in as it's correct or not, then you will then be able to get their buy-in to move forward. And again, as a leader yourself, you're bringing that person on that journey with you, rather than just shutting them down. Because again, if you keep on shutting people down, they'll stop talking. That's the last thing you need. You need them to keep coming with ideas. It may not be where we want to be, or it may not be we might not have the money for it, whatever it might be at the moment, but you need to keep having those ideas. Because if not, you shut them down, that's it. The moment that your staff are silent, you know that you've lost everybody's hearts and minds.
Nobody wants to be in that position. Sorry, Neil, go on.
No, I was just saying, on the opposite side of the spectrum of what Paul just explained with the US Navy as well, you know, because we've seen that leadership can be cultural as well. And, you know, when I was doing my MBA, we did some really good examples. And one story which stuck with me was about a Korean airline where the co-pilot, because he was junior, saw the signs of things going really wrong, but his captain said everything's okay and didn't want to challenge, so just kept quiet and let the captain take the decisions. And they had a plane crash, and they picked up the conversations on the black box later to understand that, and said, well, he should have stepped up, he should have said something, but because that cultural differences, they said, well, actually, don't challenge your leaders, you've actually suppressed somebody, and the consequences have been quite disastrous.
Yeah. But I think you see that in all businesses. where you can see if people aren't open to cultural, if people aren't open to that cultural thing, or being being challenged as a leader to be challenged and to take on new concepts and new ideas, then if you shut people straight down, then you're not, you as a leader are not demonstrating good leadership skills at that point. I think that's the point, isn't it? As a leader, you're always learning, you're always open-minded, and you're always empathic to what is going on with your staff at that point.
And that's where the coaching comes in, right? Because you need to coach your leaders to be open-minded, to let people step up, and to know when to step aside, because we have to remember, a leadership role is not permanent, it's transitional. You will not continuously be the leader of that organization, that department, or that area, because somebody will want to step up and do things better. And as a good leader, you will step aside and let them take over, because they are going to lead the organization to where it needs to be.
I think you're right in so many angles there. And what I think one of the big key things is there is, as you say, if you keep telling somebody no, eventually they're going to shut down and switch off. And that has a whole magnitude of ripple effects throughout everything, from people not actually wanting to speak up anymore to people then going back in their box in their corner to leaving. It has such a big knock-on effect in so many ways that you can't tell when you put somebody down so many times. And I've seen it. I've witnessed managers that come up with ideas after ideas. And do you know what? It might not be the right time to implement it. It might not be the right time to do it. But it's not about you justifying as a leader why or why you can't put this into place, but saying, as you said, keep coming to me with these ideas, just not right now. And it's not the whole no, sit down, shut up and stay in your corner. And I think that's fundamental for any new leader, any experienced leader going forward, because if you have somebody who has potential or is showing potential, you want to keep them in your business and you want to keep getting ideas from them every single step of the way. And that's a great point. Yeah. Look, we got through like half of the questions that I wanted to, because there's so many bombs have been dropped today. And I think, in a few weeks, guys, we need to get you back on and kind of pick up everything else I wanted to go through, especially before this kind of hour runs out. But for those of you that have been watching and listening today, Neil, Rich, Paul have dropped some amazing, amazing tips, facts, techniques, things to do that you can implement in your contact center today. It's that simple. And there's so many more to talk about in the future. So guys, thank you very much for coming on. Don't worry, we're not finishing just yet, but we'll definitely be having you back for more of these conversations in the long run. What I really want to just touch on before we disappear, and I want you to think about this for a moment whilst I'm talking, so I can kind of come to you and get your summary. But I want to talk about what you feel, what you believe are great leadership traits that, you know, leaders are either born with or they can pick up and learn along the way. What do you think are the best leadership skills that people can go out there and learn or watch? Or if you have any tips or techniques of things they should be reading, watching, or picking up from right now in the real world, on LinkedIn, on social media, on, you know, learning sites or anything like that. What do you feel are the best tips, techniques, and skills that leaders out there today should be either implementing, picking up, or learning today? So think about that just for a moment. But for those of you that are watching live, thank you very much for joining us. Stick around for these top tips for just at the minute before we wrap up today's episode. For those of you that are listening on the podcast, on Instagram afterwards, or any post of these live shows, please keep coming back, keep downloading those podcasts and keep tuning in. Your comments, your questions, and everything else that you have to share make these episodes and actually support you guys with everything that you're doing. And that's exactly what Call Center Confidence is here to do. Lots of people tuning in from around the world today. You've got United States, Ireland, Sweden, UK, Bangladesh, South Africa and Germany. So thank you very much for tuning in live and checking you all on the website right now. And of course, anybody else that's watching on social media. So lots of people out there today. Thank you very much. But Neil, coming to you first on my left-hand side, what do you want to share with everybody before we wrap up today?
On your question on what we should be looking at and reading and going out there. Look, Oliver, there's loads of material out there, whether it's books or videos or, TED Talks or podcasts, etc. And I think rather than tell people what to do, I think you should go out there and try and find what works best for you and what's the best style for you to learn and to observe that information. For me, I know there was a time I used to love to read books, and I'll try and read all the leadership and management books, but now I can't get through 10 pages because I want to just nod off. But I'll quite happily watch a TED Talk, or you know what I mean? Or and I'll get more information from a TED Talk or from a podcast or from a discussion like this, because it keeps me engaged, it keeps me inspired. So I think you need to find what works best for you and what inspires you. But I think also take the time to try and understand your own leadership styles before you go out and search for materials.
Thank you very much, Neil. Paul, top tips.
So just following on from Neil, I think he's right. I think I just circled something I wrote down, which was be a student as a leader. It's you, yeah. You can't, like, you'll read loads of different books that tell you completely different things. Find out what works for you. Find out what you're gonna go away and do. I'm a massive fan of Simon Sinek, but it may not work for everybody. Like Neil, I'm pretty time poor with regards to reading, so I tend to do audio books, and I'll sit and listen to those on the train or when I'm out walking and stuff like that. To go back to what you said around the traits of a leader: integrity, empathy, inspiration, emotional intelligence, innovative, and to look to create more leaders. That's your job as a leader, is to create more leaders, not followers. So we talked about followers. You're not looking for followers. You want people that are going to pick up the mantle from you and carry on being a leader. So you're there. And that's where the integrity really comes in, is to be honest about who you are. Be honest with your mistakes as well, because I think that gives people the trust that they can be themselves and still be a leader that they can aspire to.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Paul. Love that. Top tips. No worries. Thank you. And Rich, last but not least.
Very, very quickly then, to add on to that list that Paul has just gone through, leaders need to have the ability to have vision for the future, to see where we can actually take the business. They need to be good communicators with the team. They need to be able to organize and motivate a team. That's absolutely key to have those results. Those results will give them morale boost. It will improve retention. It increases productivity and gives you sustainable long-term results. So great leaders make great teams, and which is great results. My recommendation were, I like Simon Sinek, I like John Maxwell, but my top tip would be, if you want to learn how to be a good leader, look around you and see who you think is a good leader and go and get them to mentor you. Because if you can see the leadership qualities in them, even you don't even need to know what it is, but if they motivate you, if they motivate the team, people gravitate towards them, they have followers because people believe in them, you found yourself a leader, go and ask them to help you, because they will have some natural ability or the experience. So pick a great leader to teach you how to be a great leader.
Thank you very much. There's some awesome tips there from Rich. Thank you. Gentlemen, thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on today's episode. I guarantee Neil, Paul, and Rich will be back in the future to at least finish the questions that I had mapped out. But it's just great to show that you can have these types of conversations, but they evolve and they evolve beyond belief, because we're dropping some of the best bombs that you can get. And guys, guess what? It's free. It's online, streamed, LinkedIn, podcast, you name it. It's everywhere. And these episodes are created for you. So thank you very much for tuning in, either live or post live. Neil, Paul, Rich, thank you very much once again. It's been an absolute pleasure, especially catching up with you live on this show today. I know it's been a long time since we've probably all been in the same place together. But thank you very much. And we look forward to having you on again soon. In the meantime, don't forget, follow Call Center Confidence on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Check out the website, callcenterconfidence.com, or our LinkedIn page, which is Call Center Confidence with Cutter and Kat. Sign up, follow for live notifications every single time we go live. And hopefully next week I'll have my camera fixed so I just don't like an absolute fall on some of these horrible freeze-framed images. In the meantime, thanks very much. Guys, have a great week, and we will see you next week for some more top tips on Call Center Confidence. And Jason will be back.
Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of the Call Center Confidence Show with Cutter and Kat. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. We really appreciate that effort. For more info about the show, you can always go to www.callcenterconfidence.com. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll catch you in the next episode.